an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths to a more fulfilled way of being, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a higher understanding of ourselves, the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, veteran astrologer Victoria Peltz. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is so exciting. It's our first show of the new year. I think officially the new decade. Because I think the decade just ended, and this is the new decade. Yes, it is. And how exciting to be all together sharing this time together. And I am excited, and I'm excited also because our guest has some amazing things to say about this coming year. And it's interesting, as we were all getting ready for this show, actually, I was thinking how wonderful it is that our guest has so many positive things to say, and then I thought about the fact that I was accused of being a Pollyanna this week. And oh, that didn't sit well with me. I remember a while back, a friend of mine was in town for a week, and I wanted to see him, and he was going over to this party and invited me to come with. And it ended up not being a party. It ended up being a retired Disney executive who had a big, beautiful house that loved to show movies on his big screen TV every once in a while. So it happened to be one of these, and he was showing Pollyanna. I so did not want to be there. And worse, evidently, there were a lot more people that came to see this movie, and I didn't know why. But it's a sweet movie. It really is. And the girl is sweet, and she does sweet things, and everybody falls in love with her, and she's always talking positive and thinking positively. And so anyway, so worst was that there were just so many people coming to see this movie that everybody didn't fit in the TV room. So he ended up setting up a screening also in his bedroom, which was a big bedroom with another big screen TV. And so this friend and I lay down on the bed with a bunch of other people that came in after us and on the floor and every place. And we were watching this movie, and it was just so sweet, you know, like toothache sweet. And it got to the point where I turned to my friend and I said, "This is such a great movie, but I hate the part where she falls off the tree," which I'd forgotten. She really does fall off the tree. So the friend of mine says, "Oh, yeah," and she breaks her leg. And I said, "Yeah, but it's not as bad as when they have to amputate the leg," which, of course, they don't have to do. But my friend was cracking up, and so were the people next to us. And then the people that could hear us in the bedroom, some of them were really cracking up. And then he said, "Yeah, but that's not half as bad as when she actually dies." And of course she doesn't. It's a Disney movie. And so she doesn't die, but we all started laughing. And some of us thought this was the funniest thing. And I said, "Yeah." And then everybody turns mean again. And we just carried on. And some people didn't appreciate it, including the owner of the house, who came in and said, "I'm ready to throw you guys out." Which we thought was even more hysterical, but we ended up staying quiet and watching the rest of the movie. It's not that I don't like it, but sometimes when somebody says you're a Pollyanna, it's not a nice thing. It's meaning to say, like, you're almost too nice, or you're always too positive. So this is how I was accused of being a Pollyanna. You see, my brother and sister-in-law got a couple of rooms at a resort for us this week, for my mom and for myself. And in my particular room, it ended up being on the first floor, which is not always, it doesn't have the best view, let's just put it that way. And it's right there where everybody keeps walking by, you know, in the back, in the front, whatever. So I wasn't too thrilled about that. And also, it didn't have a view of the ocean, which the resort is known for its view of the ocean. But by the time I got there, that's what was left. And so I didn't have a view of the ocean. I had the view of a parking lot. And so I noticed all these things as soon as I walked in. And my brother noticed that I noticed, and him having paid for it, I didn't want to say anything bad, but he noticed. He says, "You're not happy." And I said, "No, I'm very happy." And he says, "No, I can tell you're not." And I said, "Well, I think it's going to be great. There's a great reason that it's here, and it's going to be perfect." And he just laughed, and he said, "You're such a Pollyanna." Because he, of course, wanted the best for me and the best his money could buy. And I said, "It's perfect, and you'll see. It's going to be the best thing." And sure enough, that night at 7 o'clock, there were fireworks. And the best place to see them in the hotel were from my room, my balcony, where we all sat out and watched the fireworks, because the parking lot gave a great view to a nearby amusement park that had fireworks every night. And they were great fireworks. And one of my family members says, "You were right. This is the best, because that's where we would come every night to watch the fireworks." And then every morning, my nieces, who I love and adore, would knock on my door and go into the back in the balcony, because it was on the ground floor. It was a bigger area for them to play, and there were snails all over the place. And they are animal lovers, and they were picking snails and creating habitats for them and sitting in the bushes, which wouldn't have happened if we were on the fourth floor or the fifth floor or even the second floor. And I enjoyed having them there and playing with them. And at the end, I had to kind of laugh. And I said to my brother, "You see, it actually ended up being the best thing possible, because my nieces spent more time with me, which I had enjoyed doing. And we got to see the fireworks every night and have the best view of probably any other apartment, because the resort rooms, because the resort rooms above us had the trees. And so you couldn't see past the trees. The leaves eat part of the trees didn't start until, you know, a little bit higher up. So we had a clear shot through the parking lot. So I don't know. I don't want to be considered a Pollyanna, but I have to say there is something to say about it. And I think this is a great way to start the year with maybe some Pollyanna type forecasting astrologically for the year. So it's going to be perfect, and I don't know how, but I just know it. So with that, we're going to get to our guest right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They're acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and they rob the minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's filter will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's Water Systems. Their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, our guest tonight is Victoria Peltz. She is an astrologer with 30 years experience. Initially, she studied with Buzz Myers, who's actually a big name in the industry, and assisted him in organizing WRAC conferences in Cleveland. And she has studied esoteric astrology and ancient civilizations, and she lectures on ancient Egypt and did consultations at Star Spectrum in Lakewood, Ohio. She has recently joined ISAR, that's the International Society of Astrological Research, and has written some eye-opening, controversial research papers on the subject of 2012. Victoria holds an MS of Education and teaches English to foreign students seeking to study in the U.S. as a side business as well. I am excited to welcome Victoria Peltz on the show. Victoria, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I know that you started a controversial conversation when you made headlines in some big blogs and some papers here and there saying that the end date that so many of us have been looking at, December 21st, 2012, was not really that date, but it was really supposed to be December 21st, 2010, which was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So, before we get into 2011, tell us real briefly, what did you mean by that?
Well, it came to me in an interesting way. I know on this network you have shows about spirit communication and mediumship and talking to, we talk to each other as people. I have a friend who talks to plants and lets the plants talk to her. She called me one evening about 5-6 years ago and said, this was around summer, she had planted about 9 months before a particular species of lily, the Madonna lily, which is one of the oldest flowers on the planet. And it's a sacred flower in the Christian tradition, much like the lotus flower is sacred in the ancient Egyptian religion or philosophy or theocracy, whatever they do. Anyhow, she had planted the lily and expected it to bloom on the summer solstice. It, in fact, bloomed 2 days before. And, you know, she's talking to the plant saying, oh, I see you bloomed 2 days early. And the plant said, no, we are not early. You are late.
Hmm.
And she called me to figure out what this meant. She says, well, if we're 2 days late or 2 years late, you mean our calendar is 2 years late? I don't know. So I pulled up a chart for just on a guess, because at that time the talk about the end of the Mayan calendar being December 21st, 2012 was starting to heat up. And I noticed that the chart for that date is, it's a chart. There's nothing really spectacular going on, but just on a whim I pulled up a chart 2 years earlier, December 21st, 2010. And there's a lot going on in that chart, and it's quite evident. And I didn't even see it all at first. In fact, it took a couple months of me asking other people. I like to look at the chart, the configuration, and the lines of the aspects, kind of like a connect-the-dot drawing. And I thought, well, it looks like a sword. It looks like a crystal. And then one night it hit me, and I got those goosebumps, dragon bumps, when I realized, oh my God, this chart looks like a connect-the-dot drawing of a lily.
Mm.
It had 5 or 6 points, planets and points at the top, like the stamens. It had the moon at the bottom because it was the full moon eclipse. So it was a moon at the bottom, sun at the top. Sun is with all kinds of things, like the node, of course, because eclipses always line up with the lunar nodes. It had Mercury, it had Mars, it had Pluto up there. It had even the placement of the center of the galaxy up there. And then it had some planets making other aspects off to the left and a few off to the right, but nothing below the horizon. They were above the horizon. So it was like a plant, you know, fanning out at the top, like a lily. And I called my friend, and we just thought, oh, my gosh, what does this mean? And I kept working with that idea, and it kept things kept coming to remind me to get back to studying it. Like, I think that wanted to go out there. And then about 3 years ago, there was a story about a conjunction at that time between the planet Venus and the planet Jupiter, that because they were so close together, it were very bright and visible in the sky. And in connection with that, it made note that many, not all, but many astronomers believe that the Star of Bethlehem was the exact conjunction, in other words, one planet was right on top of the other. They looked like one big, bright spot in the sky. Venus and Jupiter were in the royal sign of Leo, near the royal star of Regulus, at the time that the Star of Bethlehem was supposed to have appeared. And what year was that? See, I've had to question my mind, why the 2 years? What happened to the 2 years? Why are we late? Well, that configuration happened about the middle of the year in the year 2 BC, according to the Gregorian calendar. So I went into researching the Gregorian calendar and found out that it is really a consensus that was finally agreed upon at a time when they were trying to line up the calendar with the official Christian holidays. And they had all kinds of political and ego-related matters to consider, like somebody wanted the month named after them. And as a result, a couple of weeks of time dates were actually eliminated when they switched from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar. And people were upset, you know. They started protesting and gathering in the streets and saying, give us our 2 weeks back.
Well,
and this
sounds
is what happens with the concept of time. You know, you think they've lost 2 weeks because the calendar says so.
Well, I'm feeling like I lost 2 years right now. So, I mean, all this time. So you're saying that Christ was really born 2 years before we say he was born.
Before the calendar that claims that the year one is the year of our Lord when he was born. But astronomically, you see, the calendar of the Mayans is astronomically based. There's no discussion of maybe it should be this, maybe it should be that. They measured the stars' movements, the planets' movements, and they based their calendar on astronomy. So I have nothing, I'm not saying the Mayan calendar is wrong. I am saying that there might be a misadjustment. Now, the planetary placements in this last year, all astrologers have noted how difficult they have been for everybody. Pardon?
I know you've got a lot to share on that, but let's not get into that just yet.
Okay.
I'm still stuck on this 2010 thing being 2012. So because what you're saying is that the big hoopla of the world is going to end come 2012. If that was going to happen, that would have happened on the 21st of this past month.
If it's correct that people are imposing their interpretation on the Mayan calendar, saying the world is going to end, there's going to be a catastrophe. I don't believe it for a minute. I think it's like an odometer on your car. It just goes to zero. If you ran your car till it went all zeros, it would just start over with one again, wouldn't it?
Right.
It's a cycle. It's a cycle.
So in a sense, the Mayan calendar had to end sometime. And this is the time that it ended. And so I don't know how many people would agree with you on it. Though 2012 used to be a big woo-woo kind of thing, it's now become a big business kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I bet there's a lot of business and money tied into it now between movies and whatnot that people, I'm sure some people would rather ignore you and say, no, we still have another year of making money off of this, or 2 years,
That's
actually.
Probably true. You can even get a 2012 bunker to install in your backyard if you wanted. You can go online
something
and find
like
those.
That. Yeah. Okay, so if this is interesting with astrology, and yes, the Bible and it says that there was a star in the sky and when Jesus was born, and that star, according to your calculations, did happen, but it was 2 years prior. And so now this adds up too, where all the stars or planets are aligning 2 years prior to the 2012 date, then one might reasonably assume that our calendar may be off by 2 years. But if somebody makes that assumption, as we, just for the sake of just doing it for now on the air here, we assume that's correct, then that new world that the Mayans were talking about, that has started as of a little over a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, the Mayans never said it meant disaster. It just said it's the end of the calendar.
Okay. Well, disaster is relative, and you say that there was enough disaster, especially for some people, in 2010. Let's talk about that.
Kind of an intensity of conflict and call to change and, like you say, people falling out of trees and figuratively breaking their legs economically in your talking about the Pollyanna movie. It's kind of a stressful movie. She goes through changes, and nothing heralds a change more than the eclipse. And the eclipse is something we can astronomically see. So it's both astronomical and astrological and visible to everybody.
So you were saying, and I believe you said at the beginning of 2010, I actually think you said it in 2009, that 2010 would be a year of major change, especially for certain astrological signed people, and that it would be more revelations. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, there was a configuration, and a part of it is still in the heavens right now, but it was the two, according to our perception from Earth, two major planets opposing each other, like on opposite sides of the circle, and then one making a square to them. And it was started coming into alignment in late 2009, and around the middle of 2010, around July, the moon went into the empty arm position, so you had a grand cross. And these are squares and oppositions. Are stress points, and they really force a person to change.
And that actually started on my birthday, June 26th, right?
Isn't that amazing? So we're talking about this, and it's your birthday. Yeah. Anyhow, this particularly affected people whose suns or major points in their chart are in those signs that those planets were. And those are the signs of Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn in the early degrees. These are the people being most keenly, personally feeling it, and the world is feeling it. But where it touches your chart is where the person starts feeling it individually. And at the beginning of the sign, it is, yeah. And it says change, or if you, and the suffering comes when we fight the change, you know.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little later. Who are some of the people that you know experienced these kinds of changes because of the alignment?
Well, the key planet in this T-square, in other words, the one that's at the square point, and some people don't call it a planet anymore, but that doesn't mean it doesn't keep working the way it does, is Pluto. The ex-planet Pluto. Still very powerful. And that Pluto has been going across the sons of two prominent athletic figures who've made a lot of changes in their life, one being Tiger Woods and Cleveland's former LeBron James.
Right. LeBron James. I should have said
that. Yeah, and his chart isn't finished being affected. He'll still be doing some changes through July of this next year.
So it's not his fault. it's Planet X's
fault.
Well,
he's trying to do what he can. You know, you get uncomfortable where you are. You know, what was fine before suddenly becomes uncomfortable and you feel you have to do something different. That's often how it happens.
That's interesting. And you were saying that the government is affected, governing bodies and businesses as well?
Absolutely. Capricorn is the sign governing businesses. See, Pluto takes a long time to go, quite a while to go through a sign. But if you've looked at trends, Pluto is really the truth-digging planetary principle. It gets down to where things are hidden and brings them to light. And if we go back to, like, when we were, you know, around the 70s, Pluto was in Libra, and divorce rate rose to 50% because people were saying, you know, the truth is this relationship, this marriage really stinks, and I don't have to put up with it anymore. People were not settling for that. Then it moved into Scorpio, and we had, you know, the summer of love and all that came back to haunt us because AIDS and venereal diseases became the issue of the day all over the world. Scorpio rules sexuality and the consequences of sexuality. Then, around the time of the beginning of our millennium, Pluto went into Sagittarius. So that Sagittarius represents belief systems. And you had the revelation of all kinds of problems with the major religions, fanaticism, abuses, clerical abuses. All these stories came up from that had been pushed under the carpet or not apparent to us before then. Now, Pluto has gone into the following sign, which is Capricorn. And so, truths about investment and banking and government and leaders, the figure Julian Assange with his WikiLeaks is kind of a manifestation of that. He's pulling up secrets from everywhere. And he's targeted governments.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like what Buzz used to say, Pluto shows you the truth, whether you like it or not.
Where is Pluto going next?
It's still going to be going through Capricorn for quite a while.
So there's going to be more of this.
It's only begun.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, once people know the truth, they have a choice because things have become transparent.
Whoa.
So what are you going to do about it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, let's talk about what we can do about it or how we can interpret it and use it to our benefit and what changes we can look forward to. And I do mean look forward to in 2011 as soon as we come back after this.
Okay.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio, and tonight's special guest, veteran astrologer Victoria Peltz. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Barnett Bain, Marielle Hemingway, and Marcy Shimoff on our archive page at our website, lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo, and very soon our own Life Changes Network community where real people will come together to share real life in real time.
We are talking to Victoria Peltz, who is a veteran astrologer, and I am just fascinated with what you're saying because, Victoria, what I'm getting is that you see astrology differently than as I've known it or as been has been told to me. You see astrology as experiences right. rather than events.
Mm-hmm.
But there are events in the sky, so to speak. And
well, events in the sky, yeah.
Okay, so events in the sky, so not necessarily events down here, but how we experience those events. Could you elaborate on that?
That's kind of like the old Hermetic philosophy, as above, so below.
Mm.
But these planets symbolize things that have been named after mythological figures who metaphorically represent characteristics and qualities. And even scientifically, if you look at the orbs in our solar system that are bonded together by gravity of the sun, they are spinning. Each orb is spinning, and because it spins, it sets up an oscillation. So on the level of physics, they do relate to each other. There is a connection of electromagnetic energy.
Mm.
But people, you know, we are electromagnetic beings. Our brain and our nervous system, our auras, and our energy field that we call an aura. You know, it's like another entity, just like a planet is an entity.
Mm.
And
yeah.
We process events through our filters, and the filters are, I think, metaphorically designed or replicate in our astrological chart. I look at it as a chart, as an entry point navigation map. Like, when did our spirit enter the body that was then born and started breathing the atmosphere that's on this earth? It was no longer part of its mother's body.
You know, Victoria, we haven't had an astrologer on the show in the year and a half, almost 2 years that we've been doing this. And this is actually the main reason why, is because I didn't understand, or I didn't know anybody that can articulate as you have. And, you know, it's interesting that as a child, being a Cancerian baby as I was, whenever there was a full moon, I would be wide awake, and I would actually, without knowing anything, like to open up the curtains and look at the moon until I fell asleep hours and hours later, because the moon would keep me up. And when I'd share this with people, they'd say, yeah, the moon kept you up. You know, yeah, the moon really has an effect on you. And I'd say, yeah, the moon has no effect on me, but it has an effect on the water, on the, you know, all the oceans of the planet.
Gravitational pull, right.
Exactly.
Right.
But not me. It can't have an effect on me.
I'm cool, right?
Okay, so what kind of effect can the planets have for us in 2011?
Well, it's very interesting we're talking this evening, because tomorrow morning, particularly visible in Sweden, we have another eclipse. This is a solar eclipse. There is a new moon, which means the sun and the moon will be positioned at 13 Capricorn tomorrow morning, and it's a partial solar eclipse. Along with that, you have not the first time, but a conjunction, because the first one was in June of June 6th. Actually, what's interesting is that Lily at my friend's garden bloomed not 2 days early, but 2 weeks early last year on June 6th. And I looked up the chart, and the planets that are conjunct tomorrow, Jupiter and Uranus, were conjunct for the first time on June 6th. So this is all connected. I mean, the connectedness keeps on revealing itself. More pieces of information. But
and you're
Jupiter,
saying that these... Victoria, you're saying that these conjuncting planets are important because historically you actually have analyzed where the planets have conjuncted in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm using the right term to that word. But as the planets have conjuncted in the past, that's when the wars have broken out, and that's when major events have happened on the planet, right?
Well, Jupiter's expansion and... Uranus is the planet of, you know, unexpected change, also revolutions and innovations. So the probability of social and scientific change is very great. In 1775, there was a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And the next year, the colonies wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Sure.
And this also happened before the Civil War, just before the Civil War in 1859. And it happened in 1928, and you had a lot of the bubble effect like we had in 2008 that crashed after that. But also at that time, there was a tremendous renaissance going on culturally in Europe and America, and scientifically, Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic Ocean. Now compare that to the year 1968. What did we do scientifically in 1968? We landed on the moon. But socially, people were protesting the war in Vietnam. It was the summer of love in San Francisco and lots of other places. And so these are tremendous impact of change was really going on. And this followed the conjunction. Just like after an eclipse, you have revelations of how you may be society or personally need to change in that particular area. So these are all harbingers of change.
You just mentioned the some of the biggest milestones in civilization in a minute there. And so the implication is that what we will experience in the very short near future because of what's happening tomorrow and what happened on the 21st and what will be happening in 2011, this will be one of those dates in history that people will look back and say the people that lived during this time, during this year, ushered in this major whatever.
Yeah, and it unfolds in the months that follow these conjunction points. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think of the Mayan calendar, I thought, well, that was a civilization. I mean, Mexico has Mayan descendants. They're there. And a lot of them are wise people and priests that still convey the wisdom of that. But their civilization failed. They destroyed their environments. They outstripped, you know, their population outstripped the resources. And I also asked myself, what was sacred to the Mayans? What did they do that was sacred? Well, they made blood sacrifice. That's a fact. And if anything comes to an end, I hope it might be that we kind of outgrow some of the things we are doing that were similar to what the Mayans were doing. Maybe we can stop destroying our environment. Maybe we can stop making blood sacrifice and going to war for God. Wouldn't that be nice?
And you're saying that the possibility is there because of the planetary alignment.
I think so. It's the squares and the oppositions from last year, and there's one still in place. You know, Pluto is squaring Uranus, and they're both very slow-moving planets, so that square is going to remain in place for at least another 2 years. And it's going to be felt on a deep, you know, stress level in various ways, however people perception is set up, how they experience, what they experience it through, according to their charts. But, this is going to be an exciting time. And so the square says you have to change, and Jupiter and Uranus give you lots of ideas on how to change, so to speak. And is it going to be easy? Well, no. It's going to be hard on people who like the status quo and are afraid of change. And humans, by nature, usually are afraid of change.
So before we get into how we can make those changes, your forecast is completely opposite than the gloom and doom and financial chaos and government failings and all of that. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think that the cardinal square has revealed and brought those financial crises to light because we need to do things in a better way. And mm-hmm. so I'm not contradicting that that's, I mean, the financial cycles follow the planetary cycles. They do. There's cycles of expansion and contraction, and we're deep in a cycle of contraction right now. And that's not being Pollyanna. I mean, that's what's stressing people the most.
Mm.
And they need to, maybe they're coming up to a time when they think, I need to find out what I have to do. Maybe I need to change what I'm doing in my career. Maybe I have to change my purpose. Because Capricorn, you know, the real focal energy right now is about purpose, your purpose in life. You're, you know, going along, you're working your job, you're going to retire, you have a nest egg, and suddenly it's ripped away from you by Bernie Madoff. He made off with our money. What are you going to do now? Well, maybe I have to find something else to do, even if I'm 65. And it could turn out to be a positive change, but in the meantime, it's extremely stressful. People are suffering from it, yes.
Hmm.
So,
well, when we... Go on.
No, it's okay.
I want to hear your last thought before I start something new.
Well, the last thought is that if they can be willing to look at things another way, to change their perception and allow new ideas to come in, which Jupiter and Uranus I think is a beautiful configuration for. I think 2011 can be a much better year and an exciting year of change, and we should take the attitude of looking forward to it and not dreading it.
I like that. I like that a lot, and that's not being Pollyanna.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
When we come back, I do want to talk about some specific things that you can help us look forward to as far as personal change is concerned. I know every chart is different. Every person is born in a different month and all. But you're basically saying that the whole planet goes through something at a time, that we'll each experience it differently. You started to get into it. If we can allow the change, we can deal with it easier. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as soon as we come back.
Okay.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Productions, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. Heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Live, life coaching and private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like to appear on our radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Barnett Bain, Mariel Hemingway, and April Crawford channeling Veronica, at our archive on our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Remember, you can connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo, and very soon on our own Life Changes Network community, where real people will come together to share real life in real time. And now back to our show.
Our guest has been and continues to be Victoria Peltz. And Victoria, we haven't shared how people can get a hold of you, because I understand that you do personal readings as well, correct? Victoria?
Yes?
Oh, and how can people get a hold of you so that they can have a personal...
Well, I am planning a blog site, and I usually take consultations by referral, And at the end of the article that I wrote about this whole phenomenon, I did give my email address. They can email me at vpeltz@gmail.com.
Okay, and that's vpeltz as in P-E-L-T-Z at gmail.com. And actually, we're going to, that Lily configuration of the astrological chart, we're going to see if we can put it up with your permission on our website so people can see it. Of course, to learn more about Victoria Peltz, people can go to our website at lifechangesfilippo.com. But also, I understand that you're going to be part of our network so people can eventually find you there. But in the meantime, what, in the couple minutes we have remaining, what can we do in general in 2011 to make sure that we usher in these kinds of positive changes you're saying the planets can allow us?
Well, I would say that people need to take a real look at how they have created a comfort zone around them, where they are, or maybe their comfort zone has diminished. And they need to think about facing the truth about their purpose or why they're here in this life. The Pluto in Capricorn is helping us to do that. The Saturn in Libra, in the sign of Libra, is helping us to try to find a balance. We have to balance maybe what we're doing for our inner self and what we're doing out in the world. And if that is out of balance, it's going to cause even more stress these days, particularly for those cardinal signs, which I mentioned, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Now, the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus is going to hit at 1 degree of Aries. So these people are going to be feeling like cutting and run from their present-day situation. There's going to be a tremendous urge to, just get free and be me. And that could cause some social fallout in their personal lives, or it can mean that the thing they wanted to start and do, finally they should go for it. It's just a go for it kind of energy that's going to hit, and it's going to last until April, like that, until it starts pulling away and apart. There's another planet that represents what we idealize. And that is going to change signs from Aquarius to Pisces. And it sits right now on the moon of this United States. And it's made people very, it's made them maybe disillusioned about what they need and what they want. I think it has to do a lot with the rise of the Tea Party movement. And also the advance of women into politics and people like following these women as though they are really, going to save them or make a difference. So there are going to be some shifts going on about who we idealize and why, particularly when it has to do with our personal needs. And that is represented by the moon. You know, what do we do to nurture ourselves and feed ourselves and clothe ourselves and house our families? And people are really most upset about that right now. And that planet is going to be changing signs, and that's going to affect a lot of people, I think, generally and personally. And so those are the slow movers, and they affect everybody. And personally, just if you get lined up and you get your material wisdom and wealth and your spiritual wisdom and wealth in more of a balance, I think that's what it's calling for. I heard a wonderful program a bit on NPR radio. I know it's another network, but talked about a group of men who had lost their jobs in Wall Street. And it was like they met as a support group. And for a while, guys were dropping out of it and they were just giving up. But they have started to come back to the group, and they're reporting that they have found new purpose in their lives and new jobs and new careers and things that they really in their heart always wanted to do. But now because their very high-paying job had dissolved, they have to find something, and they finally have got the motivation or the kick in the pants to go and try it, and they're finding success, and they're bringing their stories back to the group. I think that kind of symbolizes...
Yeah, a kick in the pants sounds like a good word, because actually when you and I were talking beforehand, you were saying that 2011 is a time for change. And for those who are not going to move freely with it, they're going to get a kick in the pants. And I hope that by listening to you, we can avoid that kick in the pants and just smoothly transition into so much of the good things that you mentioned tonight.
Well, I think we did have a kick in the pants last year. And a lot of people hit the wall.
Yeah, well, there it is. So it's been had, and now hopefully we can enjoy the benefits of what we've learned from that and what's being allowed for us here. So, Victoria, thank you so much. I have a feeling we'll be checking in with you again in some form or fashion, whether it's through the network or our website or something, but I'm so grateful you were on our show today, and thank you for sharing this information with all of us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really loved it. Thank you.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, so, Mark, you know, what's interesting is I in talking to Victoria before the show, actually a couple days ago, she was saying also how... she alluded to it in the show. She says, from our perspective. And I like that, because if there are people on another planet, then the planets would align differently at the same time from their perspective. And so something else might be happening for them. So I like the fact that she brought it to us specifically because of our perspective of the planets, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the most interesting things. If we are able to sit back and watch this change, this shift, the ongoings of the wars and the strife and all of this, much like a TV show, you start to look at the fact that people have completely different perspectives. They are rallying behind things that feel good to them or feel secure or ease their fears or whatever the driving force may be. But the reality is that there are no real answers. You know, even this discussion of 2012, 2010, is it yesterday? Is it tomorrow? These are still interpretations, conjectures, gut feelings, et cetera, et cetera. And we really don't have the golden arrow as far as an answer goes. And so everybody has to look at it from their perspective, from their programming.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting when you say that some people's perspective would be the kind of people that Victoria was talking about that would be slow movers or slow changers and the fact that they affect everybody. But certainly I can empathize with them, because there was a time when I didn't see a lot of things that I see now, and I wish I had seen them sooner, but what are you going to do?
Well, there you're back to that all-encompassing word of perspective, because your perspective is where you are at that moment. Where is your focus? What is important to you at that moment in time? You know, what are the things that are going on in your life that are asking for your focus, that are stressing you or not, and therefore, you know, how much energy are you willing to parse out into other areas, and therefore, you know, that will sometimes determine how narrow or broad your focus might be, or your perspective for that matter.
Yeah, you know, and actually this is what I love about what we're doing here and our show, of course, and that we're not making anybody wrong per se, and I think that's part of the key in helping people is first of all, don't make them wrong, maybe because we don't really know what their situation is. I'm thinking of how Hummers are in some people's eyes the cars that waste a lot of gas and have a big footprint and all that, carbon footprint. Well, you know, we don't know, like, if somebody came from poverty and their whole someday I'm going to have a Hummer, and, you know, they don't know about green, like some of us didn't know about green until last year or 3 years ago or what have you. And these people have been working on trying to make better of themselves, and they come from a bad environment maybe, or and then they they finally achieve what their goal was, and they buy a Hummer, and then we make them bad. You know, there might be a way to help them say, help them understand that, you know, or there might be a way to build a Hummer without having to have such a big, you know, footprint. So I'm trying.
A mini Hummer. There's a whole new agenda. That'd be interesting.
With a baby footprint. That's not how I meant it. I meant it like, you know, battery powered or something. I don't know. And it still hums along, but yeah, we just don't know how these people are seeing things.
Well, I think that's part of the issue is how are they seeing things? You know, it calls to mind when you see a group of grade school or preschool kids going across the street and they're either holding hands or holding a line, and it's kind of like that, right? This journey of life that we're all going through. We're all helping each other through it, whether we admit it or recognize it at one moment or the next. But we're all kind of going into, you know, going to that next destination without knowing exactly whether or not we're doing the right thing or how to go about it or if it's what we want, or, you know, we can only take it one step at a time and kind of guiding each other along.
Indeed. I'm glad we're here doing that. And so with that, I want to thank everybody for being part of all of this as we guide each other along. I want to thank our guests and look forward to our guest next week, who will be Suzanne Northrup, who is a medium. It's going to be a live show. So those who are you in town, let's get together and do it live. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it's been a pleasure hosting Life Changes with Filippo today, along with Mark Lejeune, our host and co-host and producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and Mark Greger, our other hosts and producers, and Seth Hendricks, our engineer. I thank you. We thank you for being part of the show, being part of 2011, and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone, and Happy New Year.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. You can also join our family and friends on Facebook under Life Changes with Filippo. Remember, you can also keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website, via Twitter and YouTube, and very soon our upcoming Life Changes social media network. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Ways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Donahue. To learn more about them, you will find their links on the sponsors page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, Life Changes.